Okay, so God bless saints, that should be us just about up and running. Welcome to the Bible study again, saints. We do appreciate everybody who joins. I do realize that certain topics can sometimes be more popular than others. And prayer is one of those that you find it's not so popular sometimes, this kind of a topic. It's far easier many times to do other things than it is to pray. But may the Lord help us as we come to the school of prayer, as we look to the Lord to help us. I mean, you in your own prayer life would have learned so many things yourself, because you have no need that any man teach you, but the anointing that you've received, he shall teach you. But it's really good just to look at the principles, and we can fine tune things and understand why certain things work and certain things don't work in our prayer lives, by just taking the counsel, the wisdom, the teaching of Jesus concerning prayer. And that's what we'd like to do upon this evening. So we're continuing on. If I share my screen, we are looking at this evening, we obviously bringing it to the Lord's Prayer. So let me just close that one there. Okay. So we are looking at, after this manner, therefore pray. Let's read from the scriptures. Matthew chapter 6. You need your slides. Screen if you want to look at the slides. Now. Matthew chapter 6. This is the Lord's Prayer. As we saw last week, the Beatitudes. And the Lord Jesus Christ, now he's teaching the principles of prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9. In fact, I have this portion on a slide, so I'll put it on. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he continues on, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, once again, we look unto thee to ask for your blessing upon your word, your blessing upon every soul that, Father, has gathered together in this forum upon this night. Father, we know that divine things need divine teaching, and you are the only ones that can teach us correctly in spiritual things. So we look to you. We come as students upon this night. We come to sit at your feet. We come, Lord, to look to you, that you might help us and lead us and teach us to pray, that you may be more effective in your kingdom, that you may be more submissive and surrendered in your hands, that, Lord, you may use us in a greater measure. Father, we do pray for every person that has gathered. Bless them. I just pray for anybody else that would watch this, that you'd bless them as well. Won't you help us now, Father? We commit this study to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. So let's have a look straight away, getting into the topic. So the thought this evening is Jesus saying to his disciples, after this manner, pray. So he says to his disciples to pray after this manner. And then he teaches, or he now shows what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, one thing that you're going to find about the Lord's Prayer is that it is God in simplicity in this prayer. It's like the works of God, the word of God is, you know, the depths of God's word, or the depths of the power that is in the words of Christ. He seals them. He hides them in such a simplicity. And we see this in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a lot of verses. There's not a lot that it says. You know, we can teach it to our children. It doesn't take children long even to learn the Lord's Prayer. But the longer that you go as a believer, and the more that you spend time, or you seek the Lord in prayer, the more you start to understand the depth and the height and the breadth of what this prayer actually is. You know, the depth behind what Jesus is saying here. The more you ponder it, the more that you really look at this prayer, you find that it's very, very powerful. And you're going to find one thing, that it seems easy at first when you're young, but the longer you go as a believer, to pray after this manner isn't such a simple thing. You know, it's a type of prayer, the type of thing that just at the outset, if you just look at it on face value, it's, oh, that's really nice, you know. But once you start drawing near to it as a believer, the more you start to really, really think about what this prayer is saying, what is Jesus trying to teach us here? You know, you start to see this prayer is of God. I mean, this is not just man teaching us to pray here, but there's a simplicity, but a power inside of this prayer. And that is the experience of anybody. You know, if you just really get into this one of the Lord's Prayer. And the first thing that we find about the Lord's Prayer, right from the very outset, as I said, we start to find that when Jesus says we should pray after this manner, we should pray, this should be the type of prayer that we pray. We find that it's not such an easy thing, because the very first thing we find at the beginning is that the basis of this prayer, the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer, is we need to know him as our Father. I mean, that's just to show that in order for you to really be able to pray this kind of a way, the very first thing we need to know is the Lord is as our Father, because now we need to be praying our Father. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those kind of people, he says, you are of your father, the devil. You know, so there's certain people, the spiritual condition, whatever that it is, they're not the children of God. They can't rightly say our Father. So this prayer is not just for anybody. This is a prayer. This is a family prayer. It's only the family of God who can really pray this prayer. That's how people use this form of prayer. You know, people use this and say it over and over again and so forth. But that's not what Jesus was meaning when he said, pray after this manner. This isn't a form of prayer. Jesus was giving us a pattern. Jesus was giving us a model prayer to show how prayer should be. And the very first thing that he's going to be showing us here is our Father. We've got to have a relationship with him. Now, at this time when Jesus taught his disciples to pray this kind of a way, they couldn't fully pray this prayer. This was Jesus preparing his disciples for things that were to come. At the time that Jesus taught his disciples this prayer, he was the only one who could really pray this. The disciples didn't really know. They kept saying, show us the Father and all of that. It took Pentecost. It took the rending of the veil for the disciples to really come into the relationship with God that they could fully understand this prayer. It was only really after Pentecost when the spirit of sonship was poured into the disciples. Paul says, we've received the spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, to really call God your Father, no man can call Jesus the Christ unless it be revealed unto him of the Holy Ghost. It's got to be, God has to reveal that to you. So in order to really pray the correct type of prayer, the way Jesus is showing, this is going to need a relationship in simplicity, absolutely, but a relationship with God, because so many people say the Lord's Prayer. You know, they'll say it in churches, they repeat it, and, you know, the world loves to say this prayer. But how many of those people saying the prayer can really say, our Father, can really speak to God as their Father? And that is the key, as you'll see in this prayer, is that it's a very spiritual prayer. Because right from the outset, the conditions of being able to pray this prayer, the way Jesus, the spiritual aspect of this prayer, is you've got to have this relationship with God. You know, so Jesus is preparing his disciples. They've seen in the life of Jesus how he prays, Abba, Father. Now, he prays with intimacy to God, and they want to pray the same way themselves. But Jesus knows, look, God is still veiled. God was now veiled in Christ, but soon the veil was going to be rent. Christ was going to be crucified, and then now the very life that was in him was going to come on there. Now, so Jesus came to earth firstly to reveal the Father, and then to die so that we could know God as Father the same way that Jesus knew him as a Father. Yeah, and that is the real key thing that starts off Jesus. The very first thing he says is, when you pray, pray after this manner. Say, our Father which art in heaven. So there's got to be a relationship. You know, there's got to be a spiritual relationship. You must be alive to God. You must be able to draw near to him as your Father, and he'll be able to speak back to you and reveal himself, as we were speaking of last week. So this time, Jesus alone really knew what he was saying when he said this prayer. The disciples, they longed for that. They desired to have the same relationship, the same intimacy that Jesus had. But the Lord was still veiled, and it was going to take the rending of the veil before they could enter into this relationship with him. So Jesus is saying to us, after this manner, pray. You can take another translation, is in this way, pray in this way. So he's not telling us to pray exactly these words. He doesn't say just recite these words. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But you find some people, they think there's some kind of magic in these words. There's not. Jesus isn't telling us to learn these words and say them over and over again, but he's telling us, pray after this manner, pray in this kind of a way. So it's giving us a pattern or a guide. He's showing us the spiritual principles of prayer inside of you. He's not giving us a substitute for real prayer. Because when you really start to pray, you're going to flesh out a lot of these things. When you pray in this prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass. You can't just pray like that. If you've done something wrong, you want to go and speak to the Lord specifically about the things that you've done. Now, if you have needs, you can't just pray, give us this day our daily bread. No, when you get in the Spirit, you're going to take that portion of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and you're going to pray in the Spirit and come before the Lord with whatever your needs are at that portion of the prayer. You know, so you'll find this is a pattern of prayer. Jesus is giving us, and it's a perfect prayer. If we could pray in the spirit of this prayer, after the manner of this prayer, the way that Jesus did, it's a very, very powerful prayer, as you see, as you get further and further into it. But in the same chapter, just before this, in verse 7, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told us, when we pray, do not use vain repetitions. Do not use meaningless repetitions. Don't just multiply words by saying things over and over again and think God's going to hear. No, he said Jesus says, as well as it written by the prophet Isaiah, this people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So we can say the Lord's Prayer with our lips, but our heart be far from God. We don't even have a relationship with God as our Father. But once you have that relationship, now Jesus is saying, now come, I'll show you, based on this relationship, how to pray this kind of a prayer. So it's after this manner pray you, in this way pray. I put the prayer in reverse because Jesus is going to show us, if you take our normal prayers, the way that Jesus shows us to pray is actually pray in reverse. It's the reverse of just a natural person, a natural way that we pray. The usual order, the usual way that we approach prayer, Jesus actually turns it on his head in the Lord's Prayer. Because the first thing that we do when we pray, normally, we come and we bring all of our needs before the Lord. That's the first thing. You know, give us this, Lord. Forgive us this, Lord. Lead us in this, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Those are all parts of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And then once we've prayed those things, we've come with all of our needs, all of our petitions, our requests, and we've come and spoken to the Lord about those things. Then we start sometimes, many times we don't, but then we start thinking about, what about the Lord's things? What about his kingdom? What about his will? What about his name? So Jesus now comes and shows us that, no, that's not the way to start your prayer. This is the way to start your prayer. The first thing, the first in priority in your prayer is thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Then secondly, thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, and this is a revolution, if you think about it. But this is why Jesus is showing us, and like I said at the beginning, it seems very simple, the Lord's Prayer, just to learn it. But when you start getting into prayer and start seeing what prayer really is, you start seeing, but wow, that is a powerful way of praying. When the first priority, the first emphasis on your prayer is you're not just coming before the Lord to say, Lord, please, you know, I don't have enough money in the bank to pay my rent this month. The Lord understands. Jesus told us, your Father knows the things that you have need of even before you ask him. He's told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things shall be added to you. And that is reflected in the Lord's Prayer. Is if your heart and your burden, the first thing that you approach in the Lord for is to say, Lord, I want to glorify your name. Imagine if you could get up in the morning and really approach the Lord and say, Father, I want to come before you today because I'm asking for your grace. I want to glorify your name today. I want to establish, I want to edify your kingdom. I want to be in your hands, Lord, so that your kingdom can come. That it may be even as in heaven. Imagine, that would be a very, very powerful thing if we pray in that kingdom. You know, that would be a very, very powerful thing. If you could pray that from your heart, right at the beginning of the day, you're coming before the Lord to say, Lord, the most important thing I desire today is that not my will be done, but let your will be done. Lord, reveal your will to me. Show me your will for this day. Where do you want me to go, Lord? How do you want me to spend my free time? Who would you like me to speak to today, Lord? My, you haven't yet got to the other things that we normally pray about. But if we were in the spirit and we'd really approach prayer that way, this is how Jesus is saying, after this manner, this is the way that we should be praying, Jesus said. Yeah, so, and then, now there's nothing wrong with asking our Father for petitions. Then once we've put his name first, we put his kingdom first, we've esteemed his will, seeking his will first, then we can come, please, Lord. You know the needs that I have. Lord, please give us this one. Give us that. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I'm really, really sorry for what I said there. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry I neglected that. Please, Lord, lead me today. Now, lead me not into temptation, Lord, but you guide my footsteps. Then deliver me, Lord, from evil. You know what's happening in my work. You know, in my college. You know, my friends, how they tried to tempt me. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver me from evil. There's nothing wrong with those petitions. But they have their rightful place in the Lord's Prayer. So first, we're looking at the glory of God. We're looking at the kingdom of God. We're looking at the will of God, lifting up his name. That's our first priority in life. The first priority in prayer, reflected in our prayers. And then after that, now we can come with all of our requests. There's nothing wrong with that. So those first three parts of the seven parts of the Lord's Prayer are to do with thy. Yeah? His name, his kingdom, his will. And the last four to do with us, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. And friends, that's a powerful thing that Jesus has taught us there. And like I said, the longer you go as a believer, the more you start seeing, but wow, you know, to really live that kind of a life and pray that kind of a prayer, really in the spirit, that should be such a powerful thing. If that could be, that prayer could be a reflection of what's really inside of your heart. Is that his will, his glory is more important to you than your needs, you know, than your wants and the things that you're asking for. It's hard to believe that the Lord wouldn't respect and answer abundantly prayers that are made in this kind of a spirit. And that's why Jesus is saying, when you pray, after this manner pray ye. And even it's just sound in, it's just practical wisdom if you think about it. It's really is a good way to pray. If we come in this way in prayer, imagine you come before the Lord. Lord, you know that I don't have enough food, or Lord, you know, I'm really struggling on this. And Lord, you know, the devil's trying to give me a hard time here. Don't lead me into temptation. If we come to the Lord in prayer, focusing firstly on our wants and our needs, our troubles, and all those kind of things. By just focusing on those things, we tend to magnify those problems. And many times we come out of prayer disappointed. We come out discouraged because all we focused on in our prayer is the troubles we're in, the troubles that we have, the needs that we have, you know, the desires that we have. So we're focusing on those things. So those things seem to be so big. But when we pray the right way and we first come and we give his kingdom the premise, we're looking to him. We're looking to our Father. We're speaking of his name. We're looking at his kingdom. We're thinking of his will. Friends, the moment you start looking at the Lord and stop looking at your problems and your needs, it brings all of our wants and our needs back into the right perspective once again. It's like when David came to the battlefield, he wasn't looking at Goliath and how big he was. He was looking at God and how big he was. He was looking how great the promises of God were. And that's reflected in this kind of a prayer. When you come before the Lord, I mentioned it before, Brother Biskel once said it, and I really took it as sound counsel. When he says, you know, those times that I don't really feel like praying, I don't really feel in the spirit of prayer, says, what I do is I go before the Lord and I start to worship the Lord. I start thinking back on the goodness of the Lord. I start thinking at the things that he's done. You know, then start looking at the promises of God. Start looking at Jesus and who he is and the cross and what it means. And, you know, you start praying and meditating and drawing near to the Lord in that kind of a way. And soon the Bible says, put on the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness will flee away from you. Because, you know, we're not looking down into our earthly needs, our earthly wants, our earthly temptations, but we're looking up to his name. We're looking up to his kingdom. We're looking up to him for his will. And friends, there's power when you look out of your circumstances and you look away to Jesus. It's such a principle that we really do. We need to look to the hills, the Bible says, from whence your salvation. I will look to the mountains from whence cometh my help. It's that principle of looking up, setting your focus upon him. And that's going to make all the difference inside of your prayer. I was speaking to Brother Greg the other week, and he said something really interesting. He said he was reading the Psalms, and he said, brother, one thing I found where David was a real man after God's own heart is David prayed even when things were bad. David prayed when he was depressed. David prayed when he was tempted. David prayed when he didn't have enough food. David prayed, you know, you're going to find David's prayers in the book of Psalms. He didn't just pray when he felt like praying. He was always in prayer. He prayed when he didn't feel like praying. He prayed when, you know, everything was against him and everything was going wrong. And you find David saying, oh, why are you cast down within me? Oh, my soul, trust thou in God. Put your hope in God. He will deliver you, you know? And I said, hey, Brad Greg, that's a powerful principle. If the Lord could help us. And prayer is not just to be prayed when you feel like praying, but it's to come before the Lord and to worship him, draw near to your Father. And seeking his kingdom, seeking his name, wanting to glorify him. That brings us then to the difference between personal and intercessory prayer once again. You can see there's going to be the personal prayer in purple there, but there's the intercessory prayer in yellow there at the top. And there's a big difference between these kinds of prayer. One leads to another, you know, they do go together, but we tend to focus very much on the personal prayer, you know, praying for ourselves, praying for our needs, praying about where we are, you know, praying what we're seeking and so forth. Yeah, we, instead of looking to the latter, to the intercessory prayer. And why is that? Because it's natural, because the natural needs, the desires, they are things that are naturally declaring themselves to you. If you've got pain, if you've got, you know, sorrow, if you've got, you know, disappointment, all those things are very real to you when you come in prayer. So it's very easy to speak about the things that are very real to you. So it's very easy to focus on those natural things, to focus on the needs and the troubles and, you know, the disappointments, the heartaches, the pain, and all those kind of things. It's natural to do that. And that's why Jesus is showing us inside of this prayer that the real prayer that you pray is not a natural sort of a prayer. You're actually being led of the Spirit. You're yielding to the Spirit and you pray, being raised above just the natural things that other people would pray about. And you start now to seek those things. The Bible says, seek you those things that are above, not the things that are of the earth. And this is where you find the examples in the Bible. There's so many different examples that you can find if you wanted to see that. We'll get on to some of them. But personal prayer and intercessory prayer. Now, I really do believe, and I'm sure you, saints, everyone here, no matter how long you've been as a believer, you'll agree on this one, is that when you just focus on the personal side of prayer, you find there's no deep spiritual communion with God. You have fellowship with God, but it's in a measure. But when you start moving into intercession, when you start praying about his kingdom, you start praying about his glory, you start praying for other people, you start seeking for his will to be done, for the Lord to move, for his kingdom to come, for his kingdom to visit somebody else who's sick, for his kingdom to visit somebody else who's in sin, you find it comes into another dimension of communion, another dimension of fellowship with him in prayer when you start entering into that realm. It's nothing wrong with the personal side of prayer. We all must pray that. But it's when you're getting into this intercession here. And when the deeper you get into that realm of prayer, you find you seem to grow in your prayer life. You seem to make more progress in your prayer life. It's when you just focus upon yourself, you just find you never seem to really get deeper in prayer, never seem to become more effective in the way that you pray. And you'll find that there's Abraham. And you think of Abraham when he really became a mature believer. Here was Abraham making intercession on behalf of Lot. He has Lot in Sodom, and the Lord has drawn near to Abraham. And Abraham's, he needs a son, and he needs all these kind of things. But now, what is he really focusing upon? He's focusing upon Lot. There's someone who has a far greater need than he has. There's somebody that has a far greater need of an approach to God than the needs that Abraham has, although Abraham has genuine needs. But when the Lord draws near to him, it says, Abraham stood before the Lord. And then it says, then Abraham drew near. You can read it in Genesis 18. And then he started now to intercede, we know it, on behalf of Sodom and so forth. Friends, that was a very, very powerful thing that Abraham did there. There was another realm of prayer that he started to get into. And when he started to intercede, starting to pray in that realm of prayer. Let's ask ourselves something. Yeah, I asked myself this one here when I was thinking about this today. What is the Father's burden this evening? If we could look into the heart of God today, what is he burdened about? When he looks down on this fallen world, yeah, when he looks down at our neighborhoods and our neighbors that are near to us, and he looks at our families, and he looks at our churches, and he looks even deeper. When the Lord looks inside of your life now, when the Lord looks inside of my life, what is his burden? What is his desire? And if you really, really want to get into the spirit that Jesus is saying in this prayer, our prayer lives, by the grace of God, as you progress, may they become more and more in harmony with this burden of heaven, heaven's burden, whatever heaven is burdened with. So the Lord is looking down now in your sphere of influence. I see Brother Clayton's there, Brother Jesse, with the young people. We're speaking to Brother Clayton today about it. Now, what is the Lord burdened about our young people? I know Brother George and Brother Nat and the saints, they go, Brother Virgus, to pray on the Friday nights, and they spend all night in prayer. Now, what is the Lord's burden for our church? What is on his heart when he looks down? What does he see as our needs? What are the things that if we were really in tune with God and we have access to God and he gives us an approach to come before him in prayer, what are the things that he would really desire for us to come and speak to him about? What would be the real thing? Here was Job. Now, Job, he has fellowship with God. He's a prophet. He has wisdom. He has anointing. People come from far to take counsel with Job. He's blessed in his business. He's got wisdom even in the way that he handles his business. His servants are blessed. His home is blessed. And then there comes a burden upon Job. And that's a burden for his children. And that burden didn't come from nowhere. That burden came from the Lord, because the Lord looked down and he knew Job's children's days were numbered. Because it was going to come the whirlwind, the tornado, whatever it was, and blast the house. And they were going to all die at the same time in the house. So Job gets a burden. It's not just his burden, it's heaven's burden. And when he's making his altar, and when now he's laying the prescribed sacrifice and coming this revealed approach to God, and he's got this privilege of this access to the very, very heart, the ear of God. God is attentive to his prayers. Look at what Job is focusing on. He's praying for his children. You see, his prayer was in harmony with what heaven was burdened about, what the Lord was burdened about. And friends, I really believe, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, that is when you have the sweetest communion in prayer. It's when you are praying. What did Jesus say to his disciples in Gethsemane? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? It's like when you're entering with the Lord into prayer. And he's coming, like he's coming to Abraham. Then he's saying, well, I don't have the picture of the angel of the Lord there. The Lord coming down, the Son of Man. But the Lord coming to Abraham. And Abraham knows, I've got this access to God. And through the Lord speaking to Abraham about, I've heard the cry of Sodom. Their wickedness is great. I've come down to see. And Abraham now, he's ministered as he spends time in the Word, spends time in fellowship with God. There's this harmony with the burden that God has inside of his heart, because the Lord coming down has a burden for Lot. Lot is a righteous man. God doesn't want the righteous to perish with the wicked. So when Abraham spends fellowship, time in fellowship with God, when he now comes to pray, all those secondary things are left out of Abraham's prayer. There's a lot of other things he could pray for. But he discerns and he knows inside of himself, this is what I need to pray about now. Because Abraham's burden is God's burden. It's like he's entered into the same place in prayer where God, where the burden of the Lord is. And that harmony, friends, is a powerful, powerful thing in prayer. Because now you're entering into, oh Lord, Father, hallowed be thy name. Oh Lord, thy kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, establish your kingdom on earth. Lord, here's my children. Oh, Lord, I want them to be in your kingdom. I want them to glorify your name. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of prayer. It's a very, very powerful thing. And that's what Job was praying. He's praying this intercessory prayer. He's reflecting the very feelings of heaven. It's like when Jeremiah in Lamentations, when Jeremiah wrote the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and he was weeping. It's called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. It's called the Weeping Prophet. Because he was looking at the state of Jerusalem that had been destroyed, and he was weeping. He was reflecting what Jehovah himself was feeling. And that's why you find the Bible says that, like Malachi, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Malachi. And when Malachi came with the word to the people, it wasn't just a intellectual word in his mind. There was a burden. He felt burden, and the Lord had put his burden upon the prophet and said, go and speak to the people. I'm burdened. He would come with the burden of the word of the Lord. And friends, that burden of the Lord in prayer. What is the Father's burden? Like inside of your life, inside of mine, if I look now, if I could go and sit in the council, the seat of counsel in heaven, and I could just have such unbroken, clear access to the Lord. And I could ask him to say, Lord, what are you burdened about inside of my life? I wonder if what the Lord is burdened about for me would be the same as what I am burdened about for me. Yeah. When I go and speak to the Lord and say about, if you pray about the church, you pray about whatever needs, wants, whatever other things we have. What is the Lord really burdened about? That's a thing to think about, saints. That is really where the power of intercession comes in, is when the Lord can lay his burden upon you. And although you've got your needs, you've got your wants, but there's something more important than that is, Father, I can sense you have a will here. You have a purpose. You, in your kingdom, something is moving. I want to pray according to your will here. And that is what the burden of the Lord is. So the prophets had the burden of the word of the Lord. And I mean, you take that example of Brother Branham that time when he felt so burdened in the motel room that he told Billy Paul, go and tell Brother Baxter to preach. And I'm feeling so burdened, I can't come for the service today. And he knelt down by the chair. Then he started to hear somebody speaking in what sounded like German. And he didn't know, but there was a woman who was coming to the meetings who had tuberculosis in her lungs, hemorrhaging in her lungs. And the car hit a bump and she started to hemorrhage and she was dying on the way to the meeting along the motorway. And she said, I don't want to die in the car. And they took her out of the car and laid her on the grass by the road. And exactly at that time, the Lord was burdened because it wasn't her time to go. And the Lord was seeking for someone to lay his burden upon who could make intercession for her on his behalf. And he couldn't find anybody. So he burdened the prophet. And then the prophet didn't know he was speaking in the spirit. He was praying in tongues, but it was German. You see, because the Lord wanted intercession to be made because there was a need that was going on here. And friends, that's a powerful thing to think about in prayer. You know, to draw near to the Lord so he can lay his burden upon you. And so that when we're coming in prayer, we're bringing the will, the purpose of God, the burden of the Lord before him. That would be a great and a wonderful thing if we could do that. And friends, the closer you draw near to the Lord in prayer, like we said many times, you know, your first season of prayer, your first 5, 10 minutes, whatever, your mind is here and there, you know, you get ready, sometimes get nowhere. But as you start drawing near to the Lord the way that Abraham did, you start praying for things that you never would have thought of at the beginning of your prayer. You start being burdened for things that you never, ever even thought you would be burdened about. And the Lord can lay upon you the burden of the Lord in prayer once again. And you didn't even know why, but you're praying for somebody really burdened and you come before the Lord on behalf of that person. And then only afterwards, when you meet that person, the next time you're fellowshipping together and you say, brother, you know, I had a real burden for you. Remember the example that I think it's in the message, Approach to God, at Chicago at the very beginning, when that brother Egberg, you know, the Swedish singer, he sings that song, Tenderly He Watches Over Me. It's a very sweet song he sings. Then he gives a testimony about how he was in an aeroplane flying back to Norway. And as they got near to the place they're supposed to land, he heard the landing gear going down and something didn't click. And then he heard something going on, and then he could see the pilots in the cockpit. Something wasn't right. There was some agitation going on. And then it came over the intercom in the plane saying, look, we're having some problems. The landing gear, one of the wheels is not going down. So we're going to have to circle the airfield for a while to use up our fuel because we may have to land without the landing gear. And he started to pray now and started to think about his own life and said, Lord, I thank you for the life you gave me. This is my time to go. I'm ready. And then he says, but Lord, if only you could ask Brother Branham to pray for me, you know, because he knew Brother Branham and he knew the approach and the power that Brother Branham had before the Lord. And at that time now, Brother Branham was in America, thousands of miles away. And then the burden of the Lord came on Brother Branham to pray for Brother Egberg. And the prophet got out of his bed, whatever it was, and started to pray. And just followed that burden, that leadership of the Lord, and started to make intercession on behalf of somebody without really knowing what was going on. And Brother Egberg says that he fell asleep in the plane. He says he hardly ever did that in the plane. And when he woke up now, he saw they were near to Stockholm, wherever the place was, and they were circling the airport. And then he heard they tried once more to put the landing gear down, and chakak, he heard that it clicked this time. And over the intercom, the pilot came and said, all is well, and the people started to cheer. You see, it's that burden of the Lord being laid upon somebody in prayer. That's why Jesus is saying, after this manner pray, that let his kingdom be foremost. Be sensitive, be yielded, that if he can lead you to pray according to his will, for his will to be done. Because sometimes we're trying to speak about our will so much to the Lord, and he's trying to say, look, I'll take care of your things. Don't worry. I know the things you have need of even before you come and ask me, but I have needs that I need to ask of you. I need you to come and pray unto me, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the harvest, because the harvest is white, but the laborers of you. Now, God, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest. Yeah, that's why I really, really thought of the saints, and I thought, my, may the Lord help us, friends. If all that I said the last 2 weeks and this week is gone from one ear to the other, all is well, if we can just catch this particular thought here, that real prayer, real intercessory prayer is the Lord putting a burden on you and you coming and speaking to the Lord according to his will of the burden that the Lord has laid upon you, because you are sharing his burden. He's laying his burden upon you because he wants you to speak to him, because he's in partnership with man and he does nothing outside of man. You know, it's such a principle to think about. It's a real principle. And it brought me back to Daniel Nash again. I just went while I was thinking of this, because I don't know anybody else who had such a power, a ministry of intercession like this man. I mean, he really had such a ministry of intercession. And I went just to read up on it once again, how Daniel Nash, when Finney would send him into a town, he had come into a town and he'd start to pray. And then Charles Finney says, Daniel Nash had a prayer list. And he says, not just anybody went on his prayer list. And Charles Finney says, in my own experience with Daniel Nash, I saw virtually every single person on Nash's prayer list came to the Lord. And Daniel Nash would come into a town and would start to pray and then start to fellowship with others that used to pray and ask about the town and find out about the people in the town. And Charles Finney in his revival lectures, he speaks of once when they were together and there was a certain tavern keeper. He had his bar room, he had his pub, whatever you want to call it. And he was a rough man and he cursed so much. He used such bad profanity. And he was so much against the things of God. And he would say bad words just to grieve the Christians whenever they were near. And one day somebody mentioned his name, this barkeeper, to Daniel Nash. And Charles Finney says, Daniel Nash got agitated inside of himself. He got burdened for that man. He started to think of that man in that condition, and he put that man's name on his prayer list. And Finney says, and I saw Daniel Nash, how he would pray. He would pray several times a day for that prayer list. He says, it wouldn't just be just intellectual prayer. He says, I've seen him groan in an agony for people, groaning in the spirit on behalf of people, being so burdened to think of the spiritual condition of that person. And Charles Finney says, and he started to pray for this tavern keeper. He says, a few nights later, and Daniel Nash wouldn't come to the meetings. He would stay in prayer while the meetings, he had come before the campaign, he had pray. During the meetings, he would pray. And then that night, Charles Finney came to the meeting, started to preach. And that tavern keeper walked into the meeting. And some people actually looked around, thought, oh, there's trouble, got up and left the meeting. And Charles Finney said, but I looked at him and I kept on him and he went and he sat and he said, I could see the man was troubled. And then as Finney started to preach, as he started, that tavern keeper stood up and said, please, may I say something? And Charles Finney said, absolutely, what would you like to say? And he says, I've never heard a person give a more broken-hearted confession of the wicked heart that he had had and the things that he had done against God and against heaven. And that man's testimony brought the revival. As that man testified and made his life right and spoke of how evil he had been, it took fire among the other people, the sinners and those people that were there. And the Holy Ghost started to fall upon the people. And Finney then, if you continue reading, that man turned his tavern into the place where they'd have prayer meetings every week. And Charles Finney was saying, I learned from that. When Daniel Nash got a burden for you. Friends, that wasn't a natural burden. It was God. He says, you wouldn't put just anybody. But when the Lord would burden him with a person, when he'd hear about somebody and that divine burden, him being a very prayerful spiritual man who lived in that realm of prayer, he knew that if the Lord is burdening me, it is an evident token God wants to save this person. Why would the Lord burden me? He says, if God didn't desire to deliver or save this person. And now he would go before the Lord and intercede until the burden lifted off him. Then he knew the Lord has heard, the Lord's going to do something. Friends, that is a real, real powerful thing of prayer. Daniel Nash was a sick man. Whenever he prayed afterwards, Finney said he would groan in pain. You know, he had different sicknesses that he had. But he just so much lived that life of prayer. Daniel Nash, at the end of his life, the last letter that he wrote, he says, I've only now started to realize what it really is for someone to be so filled of God that you can ask God just about anything. You can prevail with God. He says, what I'm desiring of the Lord is that God will so fill me with the Holy Ghost in prayer while I'm praying that I'll depart from this world while I'm in prayer. And that's exactly, you know, he died while he was in prayer. Yeah. Now that's a calling. That's a burden. That's someone who's called to be an intercessor. We're not all called to exactly that depth of that ministry, saints. We wish that we were. But every single one of us, surely as believers, if you look back inside of your life, You know what it is when the Lord has laid a burden upon you. But it's so easy to quench that spirit, or it's so easy to get caught up in other things. But if we could, just like Abraham, when that burden about Sodom came upon him, when that burden about Lot and his family came upon him, Abraham stood before the Lord and continued, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, surely you won't destroy the city. Lord, if there's 40 righteous, surely you won't destroy the city. And then the Lord lifted up, and the next chapter, chapter 19 says, and the Lord remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. Yeah. So he remembered Abraham. Friends, there's a powerful, powerful principle of this one, of the Lord's Prayer, of his kingdom first, of his will first, of hallowing his name first, and then putting your needs. We have our needs. There's nothing wrong with going before our Father and telling him our needs, telling him our cares. The Bible says we must cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us, that we can approach the throne of grace and obtain grace to help in time of need. Wonderful to do those things. But friends, let's keep the right balance in prayer. Jesus is teaching us after this manner. In this way is the way that we're supposed to pray. No, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these other things shall be added to us. And like I say, Job being such an example as well, being burdened for his children and continually offering on behalf of his children. And then later on, Job is sick, he's lost everything, and the Lord lays the burden upon him and says, Job, I want you to pray for your friends. I'm not going to accept your friends until you pray for them. And despite the fact that Job had so many other needs and so many other sorrows and wants, he used that access. The Lord burdened him to pray for his friends. And it says when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord returned the captivity of Job. The Lord now took care of Job's needs. And that was the turning point inside of his life. I think sometimes, like Billy Graham once said, he says, we're seeking for joy, we're seeking for power, we're seeking for anointing, we're seeking for unction, we're seeking for blessing, but maybe we're going about it the wrong way. Billy Graham said, this generation is seeking for happiness. They don't realize that happiness is a byproduct. Happiness is not something you ask God for. Happiness is the result of doing that which is right. Whenever you do that which is right, joy, happiness, satisfaction are the result of that. And friends, blessing and communion and a richer, deeper prayer life, I don't think it's something you can really just pray for in itself. I think when we start praying more on behalf of other people, draw near to the Lord and take his burden back to him in prayer, and we're praying for his glory, we're praying for his honor, we're praying to do his will, I think the deeper anointing, the deeper fellowship, the deeper revelation will come as a byproduct of that kind of an approach that we're using for the Lord. Let's finish off. Now, John tells us in 1 John 5, verse 14, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You know, so whenever he burdens us, whenever you know the will of God, friends, that is a way to make sure prayer will be answered. I mean, if the Lord burdens you and you're praying according to the will of God, or the Lord quickens a promise to you, why is he going to quicken the promise to you if he doesn't intend to give you what the promise says? He doesn't want to quicken it. That word will just be flat on the pages of the Bible. But once the Holy Ghost gets in the word, or the Holy Ghost comes and quickens your faith about something, it's an evident token. Follow it through. It's heaven's desire to give you that. It's heaven's desire to answer that prayer. And that's how you know if you pray anything according to his will. Now, I just put a picture of two different things there. I just was trying to find out. So let's just think about this. As the last point this evening is the adoption principle in prayer. Here's a little child. Here's a little girl. Yeah. And when she's coming and asking things from her dad, everything she's asking for is just for herself. I mean, she's not thinking of anything else. She's just coming to say, Daddy, you know, please, can you give me some money so I can go to the ice cream van and get an ice cream? But she's saying, Daddy, Daddy, we're going to the shops tomorrow. Can't you buy me the new doll that we saw the other day? Or yeah, whatever that it is. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that because that's the age that she's at. She's yet a child. So whenever she comes to her father, she's just asking things for herself all the time. But as you grow now, And remember the principles of adoption, when the father owns a great domain, a great estate, and he has his son. And he wants his son now to share the same burden that he has for his estate, the same burden that he has for the great domain that's going to be the inheritance of the son when the father passes off the scene. So he puts his son under a tutor and so forth. And that's the other picture that's there, because when somebody grows up now and becomes more mature, maybe this is actually a picture of a father and a son in a business. And another son, it was speaking in the article of how the son inherited this business from his father because the son had the same burden as the father. Now, the son took such an interest in the father's business. When he'd get up in the morning, this son, this boy, he just thought about his father's business. He just thought about the same things that his father was thinking about. So with this little girl, when she comes and asks her daddy for something, maybe she's going to get, you know, £2 or €2 or €5, whatever, from her dad. But this man, this son here, because he's showing such an interest for his father's business, his heart is in his father's business. He's living his life to establish his father's business according to the way the father wants it to be done. If the son now comes with his piece of paper, the budget, saying, "Dad, you know, I need €1.5 million. You know, if you can just sign it off." And the dad, "No problem, son. What do you need it for?" "We need to, you know, build a new building on the father's side of the property because of this, that, and the other. We need to buy a new machine for this." The father, now knowing the heart of the son, is together with him in his kingdom, with him together in his domain. He's easily going to get the request, the big requests, which he asks of his father. And that's exactly the principle of prayer. If your heart is set upon the things of the kingdom of God, if you're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus said, if you abide in me, yeah, and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Now, when you really, your heart is set to glorify the Lord, you really set upon the kingdom. If you just go back to this one here, you know, so even just take it back to the verse. Yeah. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, I just want people to know who you really are. People are blaspheming your name. Help me to live the right kind of a life. Lord, you just live inside of me. So the people that are at my college, when they see me, that I can reflect you, that those that are laughing at Christianity and doubting the Bible, that you may hallow your name in me. My, that's a prayer, but that's what Jesus is saying. The very first thing we should be praying for is, Father, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be sanctified. Let your name be lifted up. Lord, declare your name through me. Let people see in simplicity the truth of the Bible, the truth of Christ. My. Secondly, thy kingdom come. Oh, my. That's what Job wanted. Lord, let your kingdom come in the life of my children. Lord, visit them. Yeah. Lord, bring them into your kingdom. Lord, as it is in heaven, let it, as it is on earth, let it be done. As it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. And thy will be done. Oh, friends, those are powerful things. If we could come, if that would be the first and foremost thing we approach in the Lord for, to say, Lord, I want your will to be done today. Lord, I have my needs. You know my needs. Lord, thy will be done. Lord, whatever your desire, your burden is in heaven, let it be done on earth today. Let it be done in me, in my sphere of influence, in my domain. Let it be done on earth the same as it's done in heaven. The same as in heaven, let it be reflected on earth. Oh, friends, can you see, like I said at the beginning, it seems such a simple prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But to really pray this and enter into this the way that Jesus says, it's a simple prayer. But the spiritual principles, the depth and the height and the breadth of this prayer are profound. You know, you can really, really take this so far. And the more you ponder on this prayer, you see, this prayer comes from God. Here, this is not a prayer from man. This is the Lord's prayer that he's delivered us to show us. After this manner, pray ye. You know, and just in finishing, I If you remember once before, I told the story. I think I might have mentioned it the other week as well, but I'll just mention it in this context once again of Queen Victoria. In those years, 150 years ago, when she called that big businessman from England, he had such big business. He was so responsible over his businesses that the Queen looked, she had her estates, her businesses, her interests in France, and they weren't in a good condition. So she looked around her kingdom to see which is a man that runs his things well. And she called him and whatever his name was. And she said, "Sire, I'm asking you one thing. I'm asking you, please, to go across to the continent, to go across to France so that you can look after my affairs, so you can look after my business." And him being a businessman with his own pressures and his own, you know, his own businesses that he was trying to run in England, which needed his input and needed financing and stuff. He said to Madam, but I have, or your highness or whatever, but I have my businesses that I need to look after. And she said to him, she said, "Sire, let it be known, be assured," she said, "that if you take care of my businesses, I will take care of yours." And friends, who could look after his businesses better than her? I mean, she could just say, "Look, everything we buy, we want to buy it from this man's businesses now." I mean, she was more than able to. And he was so many manifold times recompensed for the business maybe he had lost by going to France, by the business he gained from the kingdom. And friends, that is the same principle as you and I. You and I will look many times and say, "But Lord, you know, I've got my pressing things I need to pray about. I need to get married, Lord. Can't you see that? I need another job. I need a pay raise. I need all these kind of things. But Lord, I'm laying those things aside because I want to focus on your business. Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? What is it you want me to pray? Lord, maybe there's needs. I'm thinking about my business. Maybe there's a soul that's on the brink of eternity. Maybe there's someone about to commit suicide, Lord. Maybe there's someone you want me to meet today." I remember Brother Chuanzo back in Zimbabwe. He testified one day when he got up in the morning and he prayed and he says, "Lord, lead me today to one of your bleating sheep." You know, somewhere, why sheep out there that's bleating, that's caught, that has a need. Remember like Georgie Carter, when the prophet was burdened by the Lord, by the need of the bleating sheep. And that day he went out to the customs where he was working. Here came a lady and he testified to and brought her to the Lord. And she was such a bleating sheep. And I said, wow, that's the right kind of thing. So friends, there's nothing wrong praying for our needs, nothing wrong bringing our wants, our desires before the Lord. But Jesus is showing us in this, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. "After this manner pray ye, put his kingdom first, put his will first, put his name first from your heart." And friends, you will see a great, great change, not only in your prayer life, but even in the natural things of life. Because once you start setting your heart consistently upon his business first, upon his kingdom first, you will find he'll set his heart upon your kingdom and your business and the great needs that you have first as well. And you'll find that he'll minister to your needs. Because if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he said, all these things will be added unto you. So may the Lord just help us in that, friends, as we bow our heads and pray. If there's anybody there that desires prayer, why not just raise your hand or raise your heart to the Lord and let's pray. Father, I just say to you once again, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Father, what could be a greater blessing than to be burdened in our souls with the burdens of heaven, Lord? Father, the burdens of souls, the burdens of the needs of other people, Lord, those things where you are burdened, those things where you desire to work, where you desire to meet a need, that, Father, we could draw near to you, that there might be a harmony between you and us, that, Lord, you could meet us, Lord, in the night watches and meet us in the morning and burden us during the day and lead us and guide us to come before you in prayer, to leave the results to you, knowing, Lord, that if you've burdened us, Lord, it's an evident token that you desire to work and you desire to move. So, Father, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer. What a powerful thing that it is. Won't you help each and every one of us, everyone who's put their hand up, every request and need and petition that your people have. Lord, we just want to be more like you. Teach us how to pray. Teach us to be more effective in prayer. Lead us and guide us, Lord, because surely there's a manifold. There's burdens and needs in our neighborhoods, burdens and needs in our homes, burdens and needs in our churches, our families, whatsoever it would be. And Lord, we desire that our focus would be where your focus is, to be led and guided of you. So won't you bless the remainder of this evening? Bless us now in our fellowship. And Lord, be glorified in your people. I pray, bless everyone who's joined today. Bless them abundantly. I pray anybody that would listen to this, Lord, quicken them unto prayer and be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, anybody would like to ask anything or say anything there before we finish off? Yes, Sister Grace, please carry on.
It's really interesting because I didn't know you were going to speak on the Lord's Prayer today, but this morning when I was talking to the Lord in prayer, I asked him, saying, Lord, if you could tell me more about the Lord's Prayer, I would like that. So I'm very thankful to the Lord.
That's encouraging.
He's leading you to talk about this today. Because when I was talking it over with him this morning, because I see in my own prayer that my heart is to pray for the things that he wants me to pray, and then all the other things, they will come, but that's not what the most important thing is.
Yeah.
But the Lord puts, give us this day our daily bread before he says that we should ask for forgiveness. And I was wondering why he does it that way.
Yeah,
because then this morning when I was praying, I was using the Lord's Prayer. This sometimes I like to use it as like a template for prayer. But I was finding myself saying, oh Lord, I like to put everything under the blood, let there be nothing between before then I ask you for things. So why have you written it this way? So I was wondering if you can say anything about that.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sister. And it's encouraging that. You know, it's really is encouraging. We will get onto that, I think, next time when we'll speak about forgive us our transgressions as we forgive them that trespass against us. That doesn't negate the fact that if you've got sin inside of your life, you know, that if you've got a guilty conscience, that you've got to deal with that first, obviously. I mean, if you remember when you looked in the tabernacle and we showed, when you come to the tabernacle, the first thing is the brazen altar. So if you've got an issue between you and God, something that's going to hinder your prayer from being heard, deal with that first before you go any further in prayer, because you won't even have the spirit of sonship, daughtership. You won't be able to say, our Father. You don't feel, no, you've grieved him. The relationship isn't right. So we'll show the difference between that and what the transgression is next time. But no, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I think it's really, really is something that we need to, because you've got to balance it with what Jesus said. When Jesus said, if you come to the altar to present your gift and you remember that somebody's got something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go and make it right with that person, then come and make your offering. You know, so you'll understand the mystery of that a little bit. But yes, if you have a guilty conscience, something's grieving you. Something is, you've grieved the Spirit. You've hindered the Lord. No, you don't want to go and just pray a lot of other things before you get to that. You've got to deal with that thing first. But we'll get on to it next about faith and forgiveness and stuff. But no, there's nothing wrong with doing that, Sister. It's very, very important to put everything under the blood, if you know. But Jesus is more speaking in the Lord's Prayer about people that, you know, you're already a disciple. You're already in the right frame of mind. This is the way that you're supposed to pray. So
yeah, because that's the kind of... It's not so much asking forgiveness of sin, but it's saying, Lord, if I've done anything at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Pastor.
That's why I think, Sister, it's a pattern of prayer. I think the big picture is the important thing. There's that, you know, even if you're coming before the Lord to say, please, Lord, wash me in your blood. Because how can I hallow your name if I'm not being led of you? Lord, how can your kingdom come today inside of my life? If, Lord, I've got a guilty conscience, if I'm weighed down by sin, Lord, I've got this weakness that's hindering me. Lord, I want to glorify. I want to do your will. You know, so there's, you know, it's not exactly following that pattern of prayer, but you can see the first desire that you have, you know, the first priority you have, you wanted to glorify the Lord. Now you've done something wrong, and that's going to stand in the way of his glory. So let's deal with the issues that will stop you from glorifying the Lord. So, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sister, for that. Anybody else?
God bless you, Pastor. Sorry, I couldn't turn on my video currently.
I just
wanted to ask the question, because when you were preaching, it was really confusing for myself.
Yeah.
You said that, God needs us to pray. And why you said that just really wondered why, because, like, why does God need man to pray to him before he can then answer a prayer when he's sovereign, he's God himself? Like, absolutely. I don't know if that makes sense, Pastor.
It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Well, let me balance it. So obviously, there's so many things the Lord does outside of us, but the greatest privilege that we have, if you listen in the message, Brother Ram speaks of that principle when he says, in order for God to reveal himself as a redeemer, to reveal the most precious parts of who he is, he had to use man. He created Adam, Eve, but he knew, obviously, God in his in knowing all things, he knew they were going to fall. So the Lord allowed man to come on the scene, gave him a free will. He didn't make him fall. Man fell. And God knew that for the greater good, for the glory, even for the benefit of the redeemed, the fall of man, by allowing man to fall, God would be able to really reveal himself as a redeemer, as a savior, to come down among us and, you know, bring us into relationship with him that we would never have had if he had not fallen. So Brother Ram balances and says, look, God balances that. He says he had to use man to really show forth his glory, to show his redemption. So he balances it now when he comes back. And in the things of redemption, he now uses man. He says, okay, because man fell so that I could reveal myself, now I'm going to reveal myself in redemption through man. So God now puts gifts in people. So for people to be saved, it's the preaching of the word. The angel comes down to Cornelius and says, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. God has heard your prayer, but call for a man by the name of Peter. He will come and show you the way of life. And it needs Peter to come. God is now in man. It needs Peter to bring the word of life now to Cornelius. Why didn't the angel just lead Cornelius to the Lord? Why didn't the angel? No, God now is in a partnership with man in redemption. Then the things of redemption. To witness to people, God will lay it upon you. Then God doesn't, he says it in the message, God doesn't come and use the sun or the moon or the stars or the trees to preach to people, to bring people to the Lord. That would have been effective because they don't disobey God. But God now is in a partnership with us because man fell and God used man for his glory. God turns around and says, okay, now I'm going to use man for my glory. I'm going to use man in partnership. And in redemption, there's so many things God does. There's so many prayers God answers without people. But there's certain prayers that God wants us to speak to him. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great. The fields are white. The laborers are few. Pray you to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And that's where Brother Ram gets that principle from. Says, is that not amazing? Jesus is telling his disciples, come to me. I'm the Lord of the harvest. Come and ask me to do what it is that I'm burdened to do. You know, so concerning the things of redemption, concerning the dealing of God with man and so forth, there's a mystery in there. Is God has united himself together with us. You know, so if you in your college or if you in your neighborhood, when the Lord wants somebody to come to the Lord, he's going to arrange for you to meet that person, just like he did Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading his Bible. He's coming from Jerusalem. He doesn't know the mystery of redemption. He's reading Isaiah 53. He doesn't know that the Lamb has come, that the Messiah has already been crucified. The angel of the Lord has to move on Philip and say, go and wait by the road that leads to Gaza. And then the angel says, draw near to that chariot. And then Philip has to say, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, unless some man explains it to me? And then Philip gets up in the chariot, preaches Christ. The word of redemption is coming through the body of Christ now. And now that Ethiopian eunuch is saved and goes away rejoicing. Why didn't the angel of the Lord just preach to the Ethiopian? Why did he call Philip all the way from the revival in Samaria to bring him down to a dusty road to come and speak to a man? You can see that we are his body now. It was God above us, God with us, and now God in us. And God uses us. Paul says that God uses us. We are ministers of reconciliation. You know, so even in prayer, there's certain prayer where the Lord wants intercession. He wants prayer. And he burdens you and he burdens me because he wants us to be part of that purpose, wants us to be part of that mystery of redemption. So he'll lay the burden upon you to really pray to him. Where did the prayer come from? You wouldn't have prayed like that if he didn't burden you. But Paul says, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Ghost comes and anoints us so that we can pray according to the will of God. You know, there's a lot of scriptures you can take. Ezekiel 36, the Lord says to the children of Israel, he says through Ezekiel, he says, I'm going to bring you back to your land. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to rebuild your cities. He says, even now is the time that I will be inquired of by the children of Israel to do this for them. So the Lord is like saying, look, the time is now. Come and speak to me now and I'll do it for you. God wants us to play a part. You know, he wants us to be burdened with his burden. He wants us to feel a part of the plan of redemption. Now, he wants us to be, we his children, he wants us to be a partaker. Now, we can't do anything to save people. He fully did that for us and for the people that are to be saved. But now in this dispensation, since the veil was rent and Christ is now in his church, he now uses us to preach the gospel. Paul says, through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained that people should be saved. Now, so the word of life comes through the foolishness of preaching. And that's how God has chosen to save people, because God is working through his body now. Now, there's many things, absolutely, to balance what you've said, because you've put a good point. There's so many things that the Lord, he just answers prayer. He does things his own way. But there's certain things where he's going to burden you and he's going to burden me, because he wants intercession to be made so he can move on behalf of his people, because we are partners with him in this great work. That's what Paul tells us in the Bible. So I'm not sure if that helps you, sister, to understand that more, but there's a real mystery in there. You know, search it in the message. If you got the message, go and search Lord of the Harvest. And he speaks of it quite a number of times. Why did Jesus tell his disciples to pray to the Lord of the Harvest, to send laborers into the harvest? You know, there's a mystery behind that. If you go and listen to the message, Spoken Word is Original Seed, he speaks of that principle that the germ of life, the word of life now has to come through the body of Christ. That's why it's through Paul, to the Ethiopian eunuch, it was Philip, to Cornelius, this was Peter. And so the angel could visit the people and tell them, look, go and call for a man by the name of Peter. But the angel couldn't preach the gospel to them, because God never committed the gospel, the word of life, to angels. He committed it. The seed of life is in the body of Christ, and we are now his body. It's a great mystery there. And yes, there is still mystery, even deeper, some things we don't understand about it, but there's a truth there. And it's wonderful, I'm sure you have in your life, to experience that when the Lord burdens you to pray for somebody. Why did the Lord even want you to pray for them? And there's a reason for that. So, Brother Eli, maybe you can add to that there, bro. God bless the Chaba family.
It's me. It's James.
Oh, Brother James. God bless you, bro.
I just have a question. How do you know when you've broken through in prayer?
Well, when you've broken through in prayer, brother, you'll know when you've broken through in prayer. That's a very good question. To break through in prayer means, when you're struggling in prayer and you're struggling to find the words and your mind is everywhere else and there's no anointing, there's no oil in the machine. You're just stuttering and you're stammering and you seem to be getting nowhere. After a while now, when you draw near to the Lord and the Lord now starts to anoint you, the Spirit now starts to anoint and gives you utterance, Paul says, you now find there comes the quickening power in your prayer. There comes life in your prayer. Yeah. You now start to have a faith and a boldness, and you get into the place, the prayer starts flowing, the prayer starts coming freely in that kind of a way. And then, like I say, you start praying for things you would never have even thought of, things you weren't going to even pray for that day. Like I say, you can think, I'm just going to have a short prayer here and ask the Lord for his blessing on the day. And you start getting in prayer, and then you open your eyes, and maybe it's an hour later, and the Lord has, now you've really been in prayer, and you've prayed for people from the north, south, east, and west. You've prayed for the church. Now you've got in the spirit of prayer. The Lord has anointed you and you've gone deeper and deeper in the spirit of prayer. Now that goes together with intercession, is the Lord has been leading you now to pray for things. It's now there's a dimension of the spirit in your prayer. It's not just, No, you're staggering trying to pray yourself. And if you haven't been in prayer for a while, like we said, it takes a while for you to pray. You start praying a little bit today. You get later on in the day, you pray a little bit more. You start drawing near to the Lord more, start getting in the Word, meditating upon the Lord. You know, the Lord starts becoming more and more real. You start having more of a reality inside of your prayer. And now you start going before the Lord and praying longer before the Lord, not just because you want to pray longer, but now the Lord is giving you more and more to pray for. You just keep praying like that, and soon you'll find yourself praying in a different kind of a way than you normally would pray. And you'll say, okay, that's praying in the Spirit. Yeah, and that's really what you want to do. You want to be praying in the Spirit. You want it to be flowing. You want it to be, you know, the Lord is giving you an utterance, a burden in what to pray. Does that answer your question, bro?
Yes, thank you.
God bless you, Brother Faithful. Please go ahead, Brown.
I love listening. Maybe just trying to make an attempt to the question that our sister asked about, that if God knows what we have before He does it, right? And you made a balance that there are so many things the Lord does for us, you know. Probably when I was sleeping last night, it's not everything I had in the morning that I prayed for, but I had some of them. There was sunshine. I didn't pray that there should be sunshine, you know, when I wake up, but it was there and all that. There are so many other things the Lord does for us. But I think for me, I wanted to add that, you know, the scripture says in Isaiah 1:18 that come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as black, he said he's going to make them as white as snow. So the Lord is telling us to come to Him and reason with Him. He wants to, you know, have a communication with us. Abraham calls this a conference. God wants a conference. God does not want a way that He's just speaking and we are just listening. He wants that to be a conference. He wants us to have conference with Him. Amen. Remember how it was before the fall. It was God, you know, Jehovah, the one with His family, God coming down, the fellowship with His family. Amen. So God is always longing for that fellowship. Amen. And, you know, we going to God, to talk to God, is a sign of that fellowship, that togetherness, that Jehovah, the one with His family. True. Again. And that, another thing again is that the Lord said, you have not because you ask not. And when we do not have things, we need to ask for them. You know, definitely following the pattern you just talked about, thy will, you know, thy kingdom, and then before coming to our needs. But asking is that, as the Bible said, our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. So if you can humble yourself and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm weak, Lord, in this area. I need your strength. I can't go on my own. You are showing that you are not self-sufficient. Amen. Your sufficiency is of God. So asking is one of the ways of showing that, yes, truly, our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but of God. I think I just wanted to leave that little contribution.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, brother. God bless you, brother. And even just while you were saying that, I thought of just another example. If you think of when Moses came before the Lord on the mount, when the children of Israel had sinned, you know, the golden calf and that, and he went up to pray and make intercession. And then the Lord says, Moses, I'm going to blot all of the people out and I'll start again with you. And then Moses, he was so in the Spirit, in the presence of God. Then he says, but Lord, what will the Egyptians say? What will the unbelievers say? They will say that you led the people out of Egypt, but you weren't able to bring them to the promised land. And then, please, won't you pardon them and so forth? And the Lord says, I've pardoned them according to your word. Yeah. And then Brother Branham says that in the Seals book and in Stand in the Gap. He says, I never could understand that, how Moses seems like he gave God a better idea. He says, but in the revelation of the word, I saw that it was Christ in Moses. You see, because Paul speaks of the goodness and the severity of God. God has to be a judge. He's just. But God is merciful. So now His mercy, he put it in Christ. You know, the great intercessor, yet God is a great judge as well. And sometimes when He's going to judge, He's going to judge Sodom. But there's the mercy of God. There's the other attributes of God that He wants to be expressed. And you know, it was now God in Moses. It was Christ in Moses coming to speak to God. I mean, it's a great mystery. You know, just say, please forgive them, Lord. Remember the other time Moses threw himself down and says, Lord, rather blot my name out of the book. That was really the spirit of Christ in Moses. Or you get another example as well. You find the one we speak of many times, Aaron, when the plague struck the people. And Moses said, Aaron, take your censer and run in the middle of the people because the plague has been stayed. And Aaron took his incense and ran and stood between the angel of death and the people. It says, and the plague stopped. He stood between the living and the dead. He was typing Christ. Yeah. And that's why if the Holy Ghost is in you, Christ is in you. And you in the Spirit, if you're sensitive to the Spirit, when Christ wants to make intercession for somebody, he wants to do it through his body now, his body. So he will lay the burden on you and then he will pray through you. That's what Paul says. We don't know how to pray. But sometimes the Holy Ghost prays in us with groanings that cannot be uttered, praying according to the will of God. So, you know, it's like God is praying to God, but God is using his body to pray. He has God as the judge and he has the attributes of God of mercy. And he wants mercy. He delights in mercy, the Bible says. So he burdens you. The Holy Ghost in you now comes and you come now. You being the body of Christ now. You come, the Spirit of Christ in you. You come and make intercession to the Lord. Yeah? But the proof of it is that it's all God. God just wants his children to be involved. God wants his children to be part of what he's doing. He could have said, okay, look, you people don't need to preach. I'll go and save everybody myself. But we, his sons, we, his daughters, he wants us to be part of his kingdom. So it's okay, I'm going to save people, but it's going to be me and you doing it. Let's go in partnership together. And that's a great mystery of redemption. And that there's certain things like that example of Brother Branham with the praying in the hotel room being burdened, or like I'm saying, Daniel Nash getting a burden for people. And God wants to save them. And those attributes of God of mercy, he just wants to express them on behalf. And those will be in that. Some people have a real gift, a greater gift of intercession. And the Lord can more easily burden them in that way. And they can come to the Lord and speak his will back to him. It's a great mystery why the Lord wants it done like that. But it's a great privilege for us because we are part of this great mystery of redemption. It is, Paul says, as if God through us, yeah, was making an appeal to you. I can't remember exactly what the scripture says, but God was working through us to work to you. So, no, it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now we are the body of Christ. Now it's God in his body. It's Christ in his body going forth in the work of redemption. We can't redeem people. We can do nothing. We are but branches. He's the vine. But you know, you think of that principle as well. Here's the vine. All the life is in the vine. That's Christ. We are the branches. The vine doesn't bring forth the fruit. It's the branches that bring forth the fruit, but it's the life from the vine goes into a branch to bring forth the fruit of the vine. God could have made it that just the vine itself brings forth fruit without the branches, but he didn't. He wanted the branches to have a part to play. And Jesus says, you are the branches, says, I am the vine. No, so the life of the vine wants to go through the branches to bring forth the fruit. And that's what's happening in intercession. That's what's happening in witnessing. That's what's happening in preaching when it brings people to the Lord, is the life in the vine is being expressed through us, through the branches. And that the fruit is comes from the branches, not from the vine. It's an amazing thing. But you know, Jesus teaches us that principle. So it's a mystery there, Sister Tolliver. It's quite a mystery, but I hope we've given you a starting point to dig deeper into that one there, because it's a blessed one. You know, it'll really bring you closer to the Lord to realize how much the Lord loves you and I, how much the death of Christ so much redeemed us that the Holy Ghost can come in us to speak to God a better idea. I mean, it's a strange thing. Not you doing it, but the Holy Ghost inside of you speaking to the Lord. Like Abraham, Lord, surely you won't destroy if there's 50, surely if there's 40. That was the spirit of intercession. And the Lord came down wanting Abraham to speak to him like that because he wanted to deliver Lot down in Sodom. So that's a powerful mystery, friends, of the power of prayer when you get in the Spirit. And the best way we can understand it, may the Lord help us to go deeper in it and experience it for ourselves. And then you'll see that, oh, Lord, this is a great privilege, but it's a great responsibility as well. Anybody else before we finish off? Thank you for the questions. They're very good questions. Those hard to do justice to them. Anybody else before we finish off? Brother Max, are you hiding there behind the camera? Can't you show your face if you're there just to pray for us as we close, if you have anything to say? I don't know if Brother Max is there. Maybe not. Saints, Bamako, good to see you, bro. Sorry, bro, for calling you back from... would you pray for if you got anything to contribute, and then please would you close for us in a word of prayer?
That was really to the point.
Amen.
And there's not so much to contribute, but I think the Lord's Prayer, as you were saying, is just a way to lead us how to present ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And you have really explained everything, that not that we had to put ourselves completely under the way how
absolutely
it had been arranged.
Yeah.
But in the first place, as you said, when we come to the Lord, we must first look at Him as our God,
yeah,
give all the glory to Him,
yeah,
worship Him, yeah, the way out the Holy Spirit will lead us. And then through that, if you know that there is something that may stand between you and your God, you can confess that, you see.
Amen.
And make a confession that, Lord, this is my problem, or this is the way how I've seen myself, and I don't want anything to stand between you and me.
Amen.
And so please, Lord, I seek for your forgiveness, you see, so that you now come into a place, you see yourself come into a place that you can now freely tell the Lord all your needs.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's absolutely the way how you just brought everything.
Amen.
It's perfectly right. So,
and I think, and I think,
like to contribute. Yeah.
I think the thing of it is, bro, is that as with anything to do with the kingdom of God, it's best is learning by doing. You know, the best way is that the Lord leads you. Now, when you go and pray in a certain way, sometimes you know that you just feel there's no blessing. I mean, it's like the Lord's not. Yeah, the Lord's listening, but there's other times you approach the Lord in a certain way, and you pray, like Brother Wolf said that time, you're praying for other people or something like that, and it pleases the Lord. And you can't please the Lord if you're any sense spiritual and not know you've pleased the Lord. So you start learning even for yourself, like when your little child comes to you and, you know, knows if I come a certain way when daddy's busy, I'm not going to get an answer. But if I come at a certain time and put my head on his shoulder, you know, I know he always seems to give me what I want. So you start learning now by experience what pleases the Lord in prayer and what doesn't. Now, Bramax, just to pause you 1 second, Sister Joby raised her hand. Could you pause 1 second before you close?
All right. Okay.
Let's just share what our good sister has to say. God bless you, sister.
Thank you so much, Brother Andrew. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And I've really enjoyed the session this evening. Praise be to God. I just want to say that I totally agree there with what you said, and also reiterating to Brother Max. Hmm. That's really, really good. It kind of throws more light to a thing that I was struggling with. And also just to contribute there, for me, I feel that if your prayers does not touch you, it doesn't touch the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's my little contribution. And I don't know if that's right.
What I would say on that, sister, I think it's absolutely right, is that, let me put it this way, prayer from the heart touches God's heart. Now, prayer from the mind doesn't really go far. When you're praying from your heart, you're pouring your heart out. You're sincere. You're genuine. It's coming from the depth. It's coming from the seat of who you are. That's really what God looks at. You know, some, that's why the Bible says sometimes you can groan words without, you know, without even words. And the Lord knows what the burden, the desire of your heart is. You may not even be able to find the right words to express the burden or the deep that's in you. Yeah, but you're just coming before the Lord with that burden. The Lord looks on the heart. So yes, it must be from the heart. And that's why many times when you start praying, it's in our mind. Now we're thinking at a lot of things. Then the soul, the heart starts getting involved in prayer. You know, now that's the mercy seat. That's where the Holy Ghost is dwelling. Now you start moving into another realm. Now the real prayer starts coming out. And now your human spirit, your imagination, your reasoning steps aside a little bit. And now something comes forth from your heart. And I think that is really very important what you said there, sister. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
God bless you, sister. Brother Max, would you pray for us? Thank you, bro.
Let's have a little prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again tonight. Lord, we bless your name that you've come through your grace and your mercy. Lord, you have given us the provision of your word. The Lord, how even to approach you, Lord Father. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts, Lord. Father, we pray that your children, yes, we have needs, yes, but Lord, how to approach you.
Amen.
We pray that, oh God, the Holy Spirit will always give us the leadership. The Lord, we will be overshadowed. That, oh God, when we approach you the right way, oh God.
Amen.
And in our prayer, we seek that, Lord, it will be in the Spirit. Yes. And we pray that, oh God, as you know the needs of your people, Lord, let us always come with all reverence, with all obedience.
Yes.
Giving ourselves and even confessing, Lord, our mistakes, oh God, and asking for forgiveness, Lord.
Amen.
Father, I commit all your children tonight, Lord, into your hands. I pray that, oh God, you know their needs individually.
Amen.
Lord, oh, let your grace, your mercy, oh, your loving kindness, Lord, reach, oh God, your throne of mercy, Lord. That, amen, Father, you see the needs of your people, even if there is any mistake, any sin in their lives. Lord, look beyond and see their needs, oh God. Right. Father, we thank you for tonight. As you have blessed us, Lord, we are going back to our closets. Oh, that secret place,
amen,
the altar of our hearts, Lord. And we will pray tonight. And the Lord Jesus, we know that, oh God, you will hear our prayer, oh God.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for our pastor, whom you have been using, oh God, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to touch our very hearts, Lord. Father, bless him and continue to use him mightily, oh God. Father, any time the Lord, he takes your word, or to seek your face, Lord,
yes,
Father, grant him, Lord Jesus, the revelation of the needs of your people.
Amen.
That, oh God, any time that he comes, Lord, it will touch the hearts of your people. We thank you. We bless you. Keep everyone tonight. And Lord, if you tarry, grant us the grace to see the beginning of another day. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And God bless each and everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, saints. Until we meet again, to those who will meet next week, otherwise other saints will meet them Friday, by the grace of God. Keep us in prayer, and may the Lord bless you.
God bless you.
God bless each and everyone. God bless.
God bless you.
God bless.